A globe is illuminated as it turns.
I've been sinking through the drain of love. Left my eyes to skies of up above.
Universal. www.universalstudios.com.
You're the only one I want to do.
Universal Pictures presents a Stuber Parent stroke Avis Davis production. A Russo Brothers picture. Owen Wilson, Kate Hudson, Matt Dillon. You, me, and Dupree. A couple race over a deserted tropical beach, run into a pale blue-green sea and frolic. On the veranda of a resort hotel, a very pretty petite blonde girl, Molly, is having her foot massaged by her good-looking hunky fiancé, Carl.
You have very beautiful toes.
Did I ever tell you that?
Yes, you have.
I'm not even a foot guy.
Are you concentrating on the game? Are you just lusting after the feet of your soon-to-be wife?
I'm concentrating.
He sips a cocktail.
Carl, it's Neil. Are you there?
No, we're not.
Carl, it's Neil. There's a problem. There's a wedding-related problem.
I go.
She pulls him back to her.
I hear you whispering about not answering me.
Just remember, this is all over. It's just you and me.
He kisses her.
Carl, if you're humping, stop. I'm coming in.
Dude, it's Dupree.
Seth Rogen, Amanda Detmer, Todd Stashwick, and Michael Douglas. Neil and Carl drive a Jeep along a track flanked by mountains.
How the hell did Dupree end up on the wrong island?
Dupree was born on the wrong island.
A yellow single-engine plane sweeps over their heads.
Gentlemen, can you move us out of the way, please? We're coming through. Thank you very much. This way, please. Careful with the boxes. 10 minutes ago, those are supposed to be out. Where's Mr. Thompson?
Back at the hotel, a team of waiters shake red tablecloths over the wedding tables. A suave, grey-haired man shakes his head. The waiters substitute the red for gold tablecloths. Molly.
Dad, this is incredible. We really didn't need all this.
I know, but I did.
Mr. Thompson kisses his daughter. Neil and Carl watch the light aircraft come to a standstill along a track. The door opens.
Dupree!
Dupree gets out.
There he is!
Did other people land on the wrong island? Guys, I know I'm in the doghouse, but come on. These islands, Maui, Kaui, Lanawi. Very easy to get mixed up. And I got my head turned around. I'm sorry.
Come here, you big lug.
All right.
They hug. The wedding rehearsal dinner.
Thank you. Folks, this is a bittersweet time for me. A day that Molly's mother, rest her soul, and I used to dream about. On one hand, I'm inheriting a new son-in-law. But on the other, Daddy's losing his only little girl. Now, when Molly told me that she was going to marry Carl, I said, who? And Molly said, Daddy, he works for you. I said, honey, I've got 1,200 employees nationwide. But then I started to worry. Maybe he was some young buck trying to push me aside, grab the reins of my company.
He glances at Carl.
And then I met Carl, sitting in cubicle 26. And I said, you know, I like my chances.
Dupree cracks up.
So ladies and gentlemen, raise your glass to Molly and Carl to health and happiness. Cheers.
Later, Carl and Dupree stand at a bar and pass around shot glasses to other guys. Molly enjoys a joke with some girlfriends.
One, two, three.
The guys down their shot glasses. Carl hugs Dupree.
Everybody, listen up! Now, wait, just wait. In honor of your impending nuptials, I want to perform a feat that I've used to mark every special occasion in our lives since at least high school. Ladies and gentlemen, birds and bees, I present to you the Flaming Tornado!
Dupree removes his trousers. Molly gestures to Carl from across the room.
This is just a safety precaution. Okay, little room here. I need to focus.
At the bar.
Barkeep, your finest Kentucky bourbon, low-grade tequila, and I mean lemon slices, a funnel,
an open flame.
Dupree climbs onto the bar and lies down.
Okay. Funnel.
He places a funnel to his mouth.
Open flames, Carl, how the honor. Will the girl please light the liquid? Carl, grab this. Carl, you got...
Dupree sits up to see that Carl has left to join Molly.
What are you doing?
There's a tornado.
Maybe later.
No! No, what are you doing, man?
No, we'll do it later.
He gets off the bar.
Carl has to be here.
No.
Let Carl come and do it.
Dude. I'm doing the tornado!
Yes!
Large, cumbersome Neil climbs up onto the bar, lies on his back, and places a funnel in his mouth for the tornado. From across the room, Dupree watches Carl and Molly kiss. A flame erupts from Neil's funnel.
Oh my God!
Neil covers his face with his hands. Later, Carl joins Dupree on the beach.
Yo, Tornado Man.
This one is for you, my brother.
Nice.
Dupree swings a golf club.
Well, I guess this is where the road ends for you and me. We had a good run, though, didn't we?
Hey, Dupree, I'm not dying. I'm just getting married.
Hey, listen, I feel bad about, you know, earlier when I was laughing like a hyena when Mr. Thompson was making all those jokes at your expense?
Well, they weren't really at my expense.
No, they were. It was a shot across your bow. It wasn't that funny. I mean, it was, but I shouldn't have been laughing because I'm your best man and I don't want this guy getting in your head, okay? Because he's in my head a little bit. It's, I don't know. I don't want you to forget that you're bringing something to the table too, okay? You've got that Carlness. That little twinkle in your eye, and you're giving it to me right now, the little glint that says they're never gonna beat you, they can't lay a glove on you. Don't forget that, because you can't put a price tag on it. End of sermon.
Thanks, buddy, I appreciate it. But you know, I really think he was kidding around.
Yeah.
He's got a kind of a weird sense of humor. Besides, it's not like I'm gonna be working for him for the rest of my life. You know, I got plans of my own.
He smiles.
There it is. There's that Carlness. They can't lay a glove on you, can they? God, I admire you. I really do. That's no secret.
Thanks, buddy. Thanks.
He holds out a small wooden box.
Oh, I wanted to give you this. You know, being my best man.
Dupree opens the box to find an engraved silver flask.
You gotta be shitting me. It's a flask.
You like it?
I love this. Hey, you know, that reminds me of the groomsmen outfits. I really like them, but I'm wondering, should mine be a little different since I'm the best man?
What'd you have in mind?
Just like a little insignia or a patch. I don't want people to be confused. I'm talking something understated, like a lightning bolt. Nothing big.
Lightning bolts?
Something. Could be cool.
Yeah, I like it. Although it is going to be listed in the program that you're the best man.
Really?
Uh-huh.
That's pretty good, okay. Yeah, that should be enough.
He gestures to Neil lying in the surf a short distance away.
Now, is Neil going to be okay over there? I'm seeing him and it looks like the tide's coming up.
Neil's stripped to his underpants.
Neil's going to be fine.
Written by Michael Lesieur, directed by Anthony and Joe Russo. The wedding. The newlyweds kiss under an arch of garlands. Dupree, with a BM badge pinned to his collar, claps deliriously. Carl mouths, "I love you," to Molly. An emotional Mr. Thompson beams and bursts with pride. Carl, cool in a casual beige suit and open-necked white shirt, with a garland of flowers around his neck, steps off a small podium with his bride Molly, who wears a full-length, shoulderless, white diaphanous dress. They walk through the garden of this Hawaiian paradise, flanked by their guests, who shower them with flower petals. Later, Carl hauls luggage into their new home. Their sitting room is filled with presents.
Thank you notes do you think we have to write?
Well, I counted 111. But honey, I'm gonna do half of them.
Oh, come on. Really?
No, really. Dear whoever gave us this platter, I love it. Finally a platter. Just what I always wanted, ever since I was a little boy. And now you've made my platter dreams come true.
That's perfect. And then you write 55 more just like that. And you're done.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Hi, this is Carl.
This is Molly.
We can't get to the phone right now. So if you leave a message...
Wait for the beep.
We'll get back to you as soon as we can.
All right,
have a beautiful day.
All right, let's do it again.
No! That was really cute.
Molly,
I called you Carl.
Cheesy.
It was really funny. That wasn't cheesy.
Give it to me.
It's delicious.
Give me the machine.
No, it's good cheesy.
Give me the machine.
No.
As smartly suited, Carl enters the Thompson office building.
Hey, married guy, how you doing?
Morning, Reese.
ID?
Top of the morning, Paco.
Carl shows his ID to the tough-looking security guard. A huge screen in the foyer flashes with Thompson Land Development, followed by an image of Mr. Thompson. Carl sits several feet in front of the desk in Mr. Thompson's enormous office.
So, we're back from the honeymoon.
Oh yeah, we had a great time, sir. It was just...
He shifts his bench a little closer.
So I took a look at your proposal while you were gone. The Oaks at Mesa Vista.
You like it?
Did I like it? I loved it. It's perfect for lot 208.
Lot 208's on the screen.
208, huge. If I may, Mr. Thompson, Mesa Vista is really more of a smaller 40-unit eco-community.
Not anymore, Carl. You gotta think big, you gotta think bold. You're a married man now. You're married to my little girl. Fast-tracking this project. And you, sir, you're the lead designer on it.
Excuse me, sir?
That's right. You are the lead designer.
Well, that's great. What happened to Harrison?
I'd let him go while you were gone. I had a little problem with Rancho Del Mar, but Carl, I believe in you. You've got it. It's here.
The mind.
And it's here.
The heart.
Release it.
Okay. I'll do that, sir.
Mr. Thompson leans down, embraces an uncomfortable Carl, then plants a kiss on top of his head. A school bus drives towards a community school where kids are playing. Molly's on her mobile in a classroom.
Wow, I can't believe it. He made you lead designer.
Yeah, apparently he just loved my proposal.
And it's a little bit bigger than I initially planned, but you know, hey, maybe that's a good thing.
So what does this mean?
Well, it means I've got my own office,
which is really great. Oh, and it's got a view.
A view of trees and some cars. It's just terrific. Living the dream, honey. Living the dream.
Well, maybe we can celebrate. A little when you get home tonight from guys night?
You're trying to seduce me. All right, I'll see you tonight.
Later, Carl goes to the darkroom bar where Dupree and Neil are playing air hockey.
What's up, guys?
Carl! Made it! Intense matches going on!
Guys night, boys!
Hey, there he is!
Guys night!
Can you feel the fun for the guys night?
I can just feel it, you know?
Shit balls!
What's that?
It's my alarm. My hour's up. That's it for me.
What, are you kidding me?
Bullshit.
Where are you going?
Gotta go meet my wife and watch Sisterhood of the Traveling Yaya Pants. I don't...
How late do you get to stay? I used to have midnight. Do you get midnight? Because I was late once. I'm a grown man, Neil. I don't have a curfew.
Not yet you don't. But in all seriousness, you gotta tell me something, okay?
Neil breathes in Carl's face.
Do I smell like beer?
Yeah.
But you know what I don't smell like then? Cigarettes and weed. That one's free.
Dupree celebrates a victory at air hockey.
The dream continues! Still undefeated!
Yes! Nice!
Look at this guy. Look at you. Is this what it looks like to be married?
Well,
come here, man.
It's still
hey,
early on.
The fidelity, commitment, the whole shebang.
Yeah, and I also got a promotion today.
Add it to the list. Forever blessed as the dream continues.
How you doing, buddy?
How am I doing? Good question. Turns out I got fired for taking that week off to go to the wedding.
Wait a minute. You got fired?
Apparently I never had authorization. My boss claims he never received my email. Then I had a little bit of a cash flow situation, so I ended up losing my apartment.
You're not living out of your car.
Oh, not an animal. Well, this was a company car, so when I lost the job... Okay, I picked up a 10-speed. Dave let me crash at the bar after hours.
Dupree, you can't sleep in a bar. We're not in our 20s anymore.
Sure you can. I got a cot set up in back.
This is ridiculous. Look, you're going to come home. You're going to stay with us.
That's sweet of you to say, but I can't impose, and I won't. Dupree will land on his feet, as always. Can I have a toast, please? Thank you.
Listen, Dupree, we got to get rid of the cot. Some of the regulars are starting to complain. They don't think it's fair that you get to sleep here and they don't.
Curly said that, didn't he? Curly? Curly!
What?
Well, you got a problem with me sleeping on the cot?
We all have a problem with you sleeping on the cot. We took a vote. The eyes have it.
Dupree? Live with us?
Not live. Just stay for a couple of days. Until he gets back on his feet. Molly, he's been sleeping in a bar.
I was that happen?
Who knows? It's Dupree. I mean, I told you, his mother moved to Florida with that yoga idiot, and all of his friends are married, including myself. He's got nowhere to go. He's like an orphan.
He looks round the bedroom.
Wait a second.
He clocks the candles and Molly's negligee.
What's all this?
This is that celebration we were supposed to have about your promotion.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry, hon. Look, Molly, let me go outside and tell Dupree to bring his bags in. And
what? Dupree's here? Carl? Carl.
She closes her eyes.
Okay, look, you're right. I screwed up. I did this all wrong. And I'm sorry. I should have called first.
Molly frowns.
You know what? Maybe I should just give him some money for a motel.
Carl.
Carl reappears in the doorway.
He's your best friend. He's here. He can stay.
Oh, that's great, Molly. Look, it's only going to be for a couple days. Well, a week at the most. Okay. After that, he's out of here. Keep those candles burning. I'll be right back.
Carl, armed with Dupree's things, kicks the front door open. Dupree follows with a moose head.
Hey, Molly, I want you to know I really, really appreciate this, okay?
No, it's really no problem, Dupree.
Thanks.
Nice moose.
Oh, yeah. Murphy, say hello to the missus.
Hi, Murphy.
Come on in, buddy.
Right.
Thanks. Yourself at home.
I hope the couch is okay, because we're working on
something upstairs.
Oh, yeah,
I'm fine in the place.
You know where everything is.
Thank you. And hey, listen, just to put your minds at ease, this is not a permanent situation, okay? I'm hitting the job trail. I'm going to hit it hard tomorrow. Wheels of change are in motion.
Good, good. That's a good attitude.
Despite what my ex-boss said, I'm not unhirable. Those copters didn't exactly sell themselves. And frankly, I think we had an inferior product, and I'd tell people that if they asked. I wasn't going to lie for that son of a... Well, I don't want to get started on him, but...
Okay, great. Well, make yourself at home. And Molly and I are, well, we're going to go upstairs and take care of some stuff.
Well, hey. Listen, we're all adults here. You're newlyweds. Making love's a big part of that. You're supposed to explore each other. I get it. Come on. The situation's going to work. We got to be honest with each other. Now go on. Enjoy yourselves. I'm not going to listen. Pump away. Go on. Get out of here. Good night.
Okay.
Dupree covers his ears. He sinks down onto the sofa as the others head to bed. Then he begins to strum a ukulele. Upstairs, the bedroom light is switched off. The living room light is still on. It's 6:30 a.m. Carl and Molly head downstairs.
Well, I'm kind of dreading a talk with his parents. He hasn't really been treating anybody very nicely.
They stop to stare at Dupree lying face down on the sofa with his bare backside on display. Molly cringes.
That's not good.
No. Mm-mm. Not for us. Or our couch.
She looks at Carl, who's smartly dressed for work. He steps up behind Dupree and places a shirt over his friend's bottom, while Molly, who's also dressed for work, quickly escapes the view. The front door opens and Dupree, now with a white sheet wrapped around his waist, steps onto the veranda. He takes a slurp from a mug, then bends down to pick up a newspaper. Later, he pores over the paper with a pencil.
Computer skills. Not really.
He scribbles out the ad, then picks up a buffalo wing from a plate, dunks it in a glass of milk, and chomps into it. A huge pile of chicken bones sit on another plate in front of him. Dupree flushes the toilet and steps up to the bathroom sink. The water level in the toilet begins to rise until it spills over the top. Mr. Thompson and Carl stand on the barren lot 208.
The Oaks at Mesa Vista. This is exciting, isn't it? Stunning. Just stunning.
You know, sir, if we're not going to have any trees, maybe we should consider changing the name.
No. I love the name. Names are important, Carl. Are you going to answer that phone?
Give me a second.
He steps aside.
What do you want?
Carl, hey, real quick, where do you keep the plungers?
A plunger? What do you need a plunger for?
No reason. Just want to stay on top of stuff.
What do you mean, no reason? What happened?
No reason. I just want to know where things are in case there's an emergency, which there probably never will be.
I don't have time for this.
He glances around.
I don't have time for this. I'm at work. I gotta go.
You better make some time for it, because we got a little bit of a situation. I didn't want to have to say anything, but...
He's by the toilet.
Carl?
Huh, just stopped.
Where were we?
We're talking about names, Carl. How important they are. Would you ever consider letting Molly keep her last name? I mean, I know it's a strange request coming from a father-in-law, but a man's name is his legacy, and if Molly takes yours, and the Thompson name dies with me.
Now, there's lots of Thompsons around, aren't there?
Not in a direct line, Carl, no. No, not in a direct line.
Well, what about our kids?
Mr. Thompson stares at him.
Children should have the last name of the father, don't you think?
You having kids?
Well, not right now, but eventually.
Mr. Thompson walks away.
You know, in certain Asian cultures, Carl, the husband takes the wife's name.
Wait a minute, you just said a man's legacy is his name.
All right, what about a hyphen?
Hyphen?
Yeah.
Oh, I could ask Molly, but I don't think she...
Mr. Thompson's smiling.
Wait a minute. You mean me? You mean I'm supposed to hyphen?
Well, then you can still use your own name, only you'll be hyphenating it. It's win-win.
With all due respect, not for me it isn't, sir.
All right, forget it. You're obviously upset about it. And I'm sorry you brought it up.
He walks back to his car and gets in.
Let's keep focused on your project.
He winks and drives off, leaving Carl standing on the vast and vacant plot. Dupree's playing baseball on the street with some kids.
Come on, come on! Lucy, what are you doing? You gave him a meatball!
Carl arrives home.
Throw it! We got him! Throw it! Did he touch the plate? Oh, here we go. The game just turned. Yes! Carl Peterson, third team honorable mention, all district, 1984. We got Carl!
Hey, what's going on?
There he is. Hey, sweetheart. Time to dust off the old jock strap. This kid Dougie's been killing us all afternoon. We need your arm out there. Let's go.
Dupree, I'd love to, but I can't. Kind of had a rough day. I better go and see Molly.
He heads inside.
I like it. Family first. Priorities. Okay, he can't play. We're going to have to do it ourselves. Now listen, I want you to brush him back here, okay?
What's a brush back?
We throw it really close to him. Scare him a little bit. But don't hit him because he's bigger than
Mr. Dupree, I don't even play baseball. I'm in the orchestra, remember?
First of all, call me Dupree because I'm your teammate. Second of all, so what if you're in the orchestra? So is Catfish Hunter. Let's go. Let's go. Here we go. Hey,
everybody. Hi. How's work?
It's fine.
Good fine, bad fine?
Fine.
Dookie's hit.
You wouldn't believe the response I'm getting from my career day program, and I saved a spot for him the 15th if you're interested.
Yeah, of course. I'll bring in some blueprints and maybe even some models. It'll be fun.
Outside, the kids scrap.
Hey, come on now! That's it!
Hola, you've reached Dupree. This is in regards to employment. Please be aware that my Class 4 driver's license has expired, and I am no longer willing to work with asbestos. I won't do it.
You believe that little chin music in the whole neighborhood goes crazy. It was like...
Oh, and for Carl and Molly Press, too.
Oh, I meant to tell you about that. I changed the answering machine in case somebody calls about a job. I'm staying on top of this job thing. Oh, you guys are okay with that, right? We gotta put the job first.
He watches TV.
Well, Carl... Are we okay with that?
Molly.
As Molly walks off, Dupree changes channel.
Nice. HBO. Simply the best.
When did we get HBO?
Yeah, you saw that. I upgraded us. And I'm gonna go halvesies on it, because I love it also. You get it upstairs, too. Then you get the oxygen channel, too.
Carl tosses his tie at Dupree.
What are you doing?
What?
What do you want, Cinemax?
The Sopranos.
What do you hear? What do you say?
Okay, so let me get this straight. I mean, he hijacks our answering machine. Carl and Molly press 2. Okay? And then he decides, hey, I'm sitting on the couch and I'm going to order HBO. I mean, you know, Carl, am I wrong here?
Carl sits up in bed watching TV.
Carl!
Molly, what do you want me to do, whack the guy?
He switches the TV off.
Look. I told Dupree not to change anything without asking, and I gave him a pair of pajamas. Dupree's gonna get the hang of this. He's never truly been domesticated. He's like the ape man of Borneo.
Oh, so we're the lucky ones who get to housebreak him?
Well, you know what I mean, honey.
I'm over. I finished my thank you notes today. Do you need help with your app?
No. I... K, candlesticks, bread maker, crock pot. I got them covered.
It's my final offer.
No, I got them covered.
Her hand slips down towards his crotch as they begin to kiss. Dupree bursts in holding toilet paper.
Sorry to interrupt.
Oh, damn it, Dupree, what is
this? It's an emergency. I'm sorry, the downstairs crapper. It's on the fritz again.
What do you mean it's on the fritz?
I don't know, it's on the fritz.
Dupree's in their ensuite.
Please tell me he's joking.
We might need some matches.
He's sitting on the toilet.
Does that answer your question?
Next morning, Molly's in the ensuite. A towel's wrapped round her nose and mouth.
Dupree! Dupree!
Yo!
Dupree, what you did in our bathroom last night was disgusting. Molly nearly passed out.
I know. Believe me, I'm never eating buffalo wings again. I don't care how much I love them. I'm off them. It's weird. I used to have a stomach like a billy goat. Not anymore. I made a little breakfast for Molly. Great! Come here.
Morning.
Good morning. Right here, let me get this chair for you. Here, have a seat. Breakfast is served.
Yes.
I believe Carl told me you're a fan of the banana pancake.
Wow.
And a soy macchiato. 1 second. I want this to be perfect.
He brings a soy macchiato to Molly.
Here you go. Soy macchiato.
So you really didn't have to do it.
Yes, I did have to do this. Look, I know I got off on the wrong foot, and I just want you both to know that I really appreciate this, and I'm grateful.
I don't know what to say, but...
Don't say anything. Just accept my apology and enjoy this feast. I'm off to a very promising job interview, which explains my natty attire. Wish me luck. Goodbye.
Good luck. Go get him, Tiger.
I will. Thank you. Off like a prom dress.
At Levitt's Furniture Store.
So why don't you describe yourself, Mr. Dupree?
I'm a people person. I'm very personable. I absolutely insist on enjoying life. Not so task-oriented, not a workhorse. If you're looking for a Clydesdale, I'm probably not your man. Like, I don't live to work. It's more the other way around. I work to live. Incidentally, what's your policy on Columbus Day?
We work.
Really? The guy discovered the New World. Afraid to even ask about victory over Japan Day.
The personnel manager stares at him with raised brows. Dupree sighs. Then shrugs.
Hey, we tried, right?
He holds out his hand.
Thanks a lot.
Dupree goes, then returns.
My resume.
He takes it and goes.
You gotta lean into it and commit to it. That's the way. You get hurt if you're afraid. If you time it just right, the book.
Carl steps out of his house holding a large framed picture. He looks at Dupree and the neighborhood kids on the ramp.
See, I'm just running down the ramp. It's actually harder than on a skateboard. Here we go. Meet your friend. Hold on. Yeah, come down. Go. See how he's timing it, and then he pops it up. Go. Yes! Go. One more time.
Oh, what's going on over here?
Carl, check out this badass skate ramp I had Aaron's dad built for us. Hey, man, I was just telling these guys how we used to tear it up back in the day.
Yep. Pretty good.
Hey, I got an idea. What do you say we put on a little show for these guys? Throw down some one-wheelers. Make it rain out here. Come on, for a second.
Yeah, show us something.
Okay, give me a board.
Yes! Carl! Step aside, guys.
Honey, I need some help.
Yep. Just like back in the day.
Nice!
Molly steps onto the veranda and spots Carl with Dupree on boards on top of the skate ramp.
Well, no one ever said we were going to live forever.
Let's go.
Carl, what are you doing?
What's it look like he's doing? He's getting ready to rip it up.
Relax, Molly. It's only gonna take a second.
Come on, Dupree!
Say when.
When!
Yeah! Carl tumbles down the ramp.
No!
Dupree crashes into him.
Ah! Oh, I'm wrecked!
Carl!
Oh! Oh, I wrecked my little Duprees!
Molly nurses Carl.
When was the last time you were even on a skateboard?
1987.
Oh.
For a second there, we almost had it back.
Carl's presented with a model of his revised housing project. It's a huge circular development.
What is this? Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Is this some kind of a joke?
Carl, Thompson wanted more units. Thought it would work better as a wraparound.
Wraparound? Mesa Vista is not a wraparound.
In the foyer.
Hasta mañana, Paco.
Night, boss.
Carl.
But Mr. Topps.
Hey, you see the preliminaries?
Yeah, I did, and it's completely different than my original proposal.
Oh, God damn it, Carl. Will you stop fighting this? People buy homes. Let the government pay for the parks. That's why we have taxes.
Carl stands, hands on hips.
The Oaks at Mesa Vista is a money train. You want to be on it?
He peers inquiringly at Carl. Carl glances round, then turns resignedly to Thompson.
Yeah. I'm on it.
Thompson gives Carl a satisfied look, then points at him as if he were shooting him with a pistol. It's late when Carl arrives home.
Money train. I'll give you a money train.
He beats the car door. He's stalking towards the house when he notices another car by the curb. There's a lot of noise coming from the house.
Come right there, please. Please.
No!
Go over!
No! What?
You make it, man. Carl, welcome home. Come here, buddy. We got one for you. Get a beer for him.
What are you guys doing?
You're watching the game.
Yeah, I can see that.
Hey, guys, please shut the hell up for 2 seconds, because it's 4th and inches. Please, just shut
you
up.
Shut up,
it's
Neil.
It's 4th and inches.
Why don't you watch it in your house?
Because I can't have friends over on weeknights, and you know that. Grow a sack.
It's not my problem, Neil. Take it up with Annie.
He goes to get a drink.
Time for the lion tamer.
Yeah, well, I can't talk to him like this.
What's going on? You all right?
Yeah, I'm fine.
God, I've been watching you lately, man. You're really putting in the hours. You gotta find some balance. Find a little Carl time. You know what I'm saying?
Neil turns the football back on while Carl knocks back a drink.
Carl, come here. Molly's got the back-to-school thing tonight. Got the house to ourselves for a while. Let's watch the game. Let your hair down.
Let your hair down?
You think I've been overdoing it with the
worst
thing?
I know you've been overdoing it.
Shake it loose, huh?
Just live a little, man. Just live a little.
You know, maybe I ought to make my nachos, huh?
Nice! Yes! Carl,
nachos, Carl, nachos yes. Are in my belly.
Hey, Neil, when turn up the volume.
Okay, yeah. You know who else loves Carl's nachos? Is Eddie.
Give him a call.
I already did.
Carl, soup them up, man. Make them spicy.
A little later.
Okay, guys, this is it. This is it.
Just come.
There's now a whole crowd of the boys gathered in Carl and Molly's stylish living room to watch the football. Carl's sitting on a beanbag smoking a cigar. The coffee table's laden with bottles, debris, and a silver dish of nachos. The boys all rise to high five or commiserate.
Push-ups,
man.
50 push-ups.
Okay.
That was the deal.
Fine.
Okay, enjoy.
One.
He has a condition.
Two. Three. Four.
That's right. I have a condition. I should not keep doing this. I have a gamey colon, and it gets spastic and spasms.
You've got a condition.
Carl, shut up.
Mark, what? What is it, Mark?
Molly.
Carl turns round to see that Molly has arrived home.
Hi.
Oh, hey, Molly. You're home early.
Really?
I just invited some of the guys over to watch a little football. Figured it was just a little time to loosen up, a little Carl time.
Me gusta margarita!
Dupree freezes when he sees Molly.
Hola, Dupree.
Hola, Molly.
Carly.
You should go.
Sorry, I ashed on your floor.
They file out.
Sorry, Mom. I'll bring this back tomorrow. I'll give it to Carl at the office.
So don't tell Annie I was here, and if you do, don't tell her that I asked you not to. Okay, I'll just go.
Neil leaves. Molly eyes the filthy rug.
I know what you're thinking, Molly. But we were gonna have this rug shampooed. I promise you.
Oh, and look. Look at that. It's my grandmother's silver cheese platter. We used it to serve nachos.
Well, nachos have cheese in them.
Molly glares at him. Dupree sets down his 2 jugs of margaritas.
Let me just start cleaning up some
Dupree,
of this.
Please stop!
Dupree's eyes widen, and he looks fearfully at Carl.
Somebody arriving late for the party, don't worry about it. Go, the party, game's over! Go away, the party's over! Molly, for the love of God, please!
Molly opens the door to 2 strippers.
We heard there were some bad boys in here.
The strippers wear sexy leather police outfits.
There were, but they left.
Molly slams the door. Molly sits at her desk in school, thoughtfully staring ahead, while her class sit at their desks doing an exercise. Molly glances over at the door to see an apologetic Carl standing there, peering in. He sheepishly holds up a carrier bag of lunch on which is scrawled, "I'm sorry." A little smile appears on Molly's face. Later, she sits at a table outside with Carl.
You know, Carl, I really think I've been pretty cool about this whole situation, and I hate having this conversation with you, but this is not exactly how I pictured us getting started.
I know. Look, Dupree's gotta go.
No, it's not about kicking Dupree out. It's just that you said it was gonna be a couple of days.
Look, Molly, he's my best friend. Somehow I feel responsible for him.
Maybe it's time to start prioritizing your responsibilities.
You're right.
What if we had a girlfriend?
Good idea, but how's a guy with no job, no car, living on somebody's couch, gonna find any kind of girlfriend?
Our new librarian. She seems really nice.
You want to fix Dupree up with a really nice librarian? Listen, I know the guy for 25 years. I think he's more into the young, foreign, non-librarian type.
Well, it wouldn't hurt to ask.
I wouldn't get my hopes up.
I'll do it.
Oh, that's great. Do you want to know anything about her?
Nope. Well, does she have a car?
Yeah, she does.
Okay. She can swing by and get me around 8 or 1:45.
Tonight?
Please.
Okay.
Candy?
Mandy.
Mandy. It's even better.
He's sitting on the veranda with a bowl of cereal.
Librarian.
Carl and Molly return home and get out of their car.
No. No. Ow. Brave. I mean, I have a whole new respect for you, Carl.
Well, rice was okay, but just for the record, octopus does not taste like chicken.
But you ate it.
They stop to listen.
Funky Cole Medina?
Yeah, looks like Dupree brought his date home.
And what's a tie doing on our door?
Molly, I think we ought to drive around the block a couple of times.
Oh, wait a minute. No way. Mandy's a Mormon. She's not the kind of girl
that's
busy on the first date.
You fixed Dupree up with a Mormon librarian.
Molly steps up to the door.
Molly, wait!
Inside the candlelit living room, Dupree scoops up butter to apply to his naked date. Molly reels back outside.
Oh my god.
What?
Start around the block. Carl! That butter dish was our wedding gift!
Guys,
what was he doing
with
butter?
Hold it. Let me explain.
Dupree, no need to explain.
It's not what it looks like.
Dupree, no explanation necessary.
I know.
Go back in the house.
Not before I thank Molly for the best night of my life. Ma, thank you. What happened in there? It was so natural. It was so beautiful.
Go back inside. Listen, I've got neighbors.
I know you do. But listen to me. I'm in love.
Dupree, I'm not going to do this.
You will hit me with this door tonight.
Jesus, Molly, call the fire department.
Oh, my God.
Mandy!
Feathers and dust fly out through the smashed front window of Carl and Molly's house. A fireman hauls out their rug and carries it away. The front lawn's covered with charred debris. Carl, covered in soot, leans over the remains of his leather couch.
God, I love this couch.
Dupree, in a dressing gown, squats near the open door of Mandy's car.
And then when I saw you on fire, my heart stopped. I had so much adrenaline pumping through me, I probably could have picked up this car and just hurled it 10 blocks.
Are you gonna do this, or am I gonna have to?
Carl straightens up.
I'll take care of it.
Tonight, Carl.
Come on, get out of here. I'm not responsible for what these hands are gonna do. Come on.
Dupree stands up, closes Mandy's door, then leans in through the open window and kisses her. She drives off. Some of the neighborhood kids query Dupree.
You okay?
Yeah. Just a little smoke inhalation.
He sees Carl and Molly on the front lawn and walks towards them while the police and firemen do their work.
Wow. Unbelievable. Mandy was completely unharmed. Fire chief said that the butter fry saved her life. You talk about a miracle. You just gotta thank the big man. It's all you can...
Molly walks away.
What is wrong with you? Why did you have to use so many candles?
I was just trying to set a mood. You know how I am, Carl.
Yeah, I do.
He looks away, then turns back to his friend.
Look. It's about time you got on the road.
He looks at Dupree firmly, then joins Molly on the veranda. Dupree watches them, then sits down on the burnt-out leather sofa and rests his chin on his hand. A fireman strolls by.
You guys need any help?
No, we're good. Relax.
Day. The front window's boarded up. Dupree stands outside with a bicycle.
Well, I had a lovely stay. Thank you both for your generosity.
Carl and Molly are on the veranda.
Sorry about last night. No hard feelings, I hope. At least they're none on my part.
Are you sure you got a place to go?
Yeah, I got a place to go. Going to Mandy's.
The librarian.
Don't you think that's kind of moving a little quickly, Dupree?
Maybe it is, but so what? Something special's happening there. I'm not gonna fight it. Hey, take care of this big mook for me.
To the local kids.
Bye. See you guys. Tosh, listen. You got the heart of a damn lion. I respect you. You took a beating, but you took it like a man. God bless all of you.
He walks on. A relieved Molly and Carl hold hands.
Arrivederci!
He cycles away.
Goodbye!
Everyone waves.
Off to Mandy's!
He collides with a car.
Oh my God! Carl!
They watch Dupree struggle to his feet, raise his arm, and wave to them.
Okay!
Dupree picks up his bike. To the kids.
Hey, you see that? He's gonna be fine.
Here's your mail. Thank you.
Carl watches nervously as the driver hands Dupree his duffel bag. Dupree cycles away on his wonky bike.
Bye.
The kids wave.
Bye.
Carl stands in his burnt-out sitting room.
Carl. Carl. We've been staring at this for over 2 hours. Let's go get some dinner. And margaritas. Celebrate our emancipation.
The insurance adjuster recommended that we sue Dupree.
For a moose head? Just curious.
Carl drops his broom and removes his rubber gloves.
It was a margarita that did it, wasn't it?
Carl takes her in his arms and kisses her.
The emancipation did it.
I like the song. Ooh, taqueria. She makes a smooth margarita.
We have some good margarita.
It's teeming with rain as they drive home.
Oh my God.
What?
Molly points ahead to a guy sitting on a bus bench by the curb. It's Dupree. He's soaked through.
Are you kidding me? What the hell is he doing?
I thought he was going to Mandy's.
Honey, I don't think he can see us. Maybe we should just keep going.
It's pouring rain outside.
Not that bad.
Honey, look at him.
Dupree looks pitiful, staring ahead miserably as he listens to his Walkman. Molly sighs, then turns to Carl.
Why?
Damn it.
Molly! Molly!
She runs up to him.
Dupree! Dupree! What are you doing? It's pouring rain outside.
I don't know what I'm doing anymore.
Well, what about Mandy?
Don't ask.
Molly jumps out of the way as a car passes. It drenches Dupree through. Carl gets out of the car with an umbrella.
Carl, can you get his bike?
Carl's reluctant.
Come on, let's go. Let's go home.
Molly helps a feeble Dupree towards the car while Carl, under cover of the umbrella, goes to pick up his bike and duffel bag.
Carl!
I'm coming!
Back home, Molly towel dries Dupree's hair while Carl blows up a mattress.
I really appreciate this, guys. Trust me, no more open flames. I learned my lesson.
All right, well, it's been a long night, so I'm gonna go to bed. Try not to go to sleep with that head wet, okay?
Molly.
Molly leaves the spare room.
Dupree?
I don't mean to come down on you, but you need to start getting your life together. We're grown-ups now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I know, you're right.
And if you're gonna stay here, things are gonna be different from now on. No more naked stuff.
Well, it felt natural to be naked.
I don't care!
Okay?
I do not care. Clean up after yourself, watch the noise, try to help out around the house, please. It's not too much to ask.
You're right.
Carl makes to go.
Carl, I can be really helpful when I set my mind to it. And that's what I'm going to do.
Oh, and,
He checks that Molly's gone, then closes the door.
Another thing, would you, mind writing some thank you notes for me?
Okay.
Yeah, that'd be great. Try to get some sleep.
He leaves. Dupree shakes his head.
Gut check time, Dupree.
Dupree puts a tape in his Walkman, belts it on, then wearing red overalls and armed with rubber gloves, he steps up to a pile of fire debris on the sitting room floor. As time passes, Dupree gathers up the debris and sweeps up. Then he sets to work on the smoke-stained wood-paneled walls and the charred window frame. Now he's repairing his wonky bicycle. Later, he reveals the transformed living room to a delighted Molly. Carl steps into his office at work and closes his door, then quickly reopens it and stares at the nameplate. It reads, Carl Peterson Thompson. Dupree lags behind a group of cyclists, straining as he tries to keep up. Two kids sit on Dupree's feet as he does sit-ups. Now he and Toshi carry a new cream sofa into Molly and Carl's sitting room.
Dear Aunt Kathy, thank you so much for my glasses.
He's perched on the toilet in front of a pile of thank you cards. Carl removes his hyphenated nameplate and replaces it with Carl Peterson. Dupree's lying on the grass reading an autobiography by Lance Armstrong. He places the book on his chest and reaches out to touch his bicycle. Toshi lies on the lawn beside him playing his flute. Dupree shaves his legs. He's on his bike again, but this time ahead of the pack and pedaling furiously. Dupree watches the Tour de France on TV while cycling on his bike, which is fixed to the living room floor. He answers his mobile.
Hello?
Yeah, Dupree, I'm going to need you to do me a solid.
Yeah, no problem. What do you got?
I promised Molly I would give this career day presentation today at 1 o'clock. But her father just dropped the big one on me, so I'm going to need you to step in and fill in for me. Can you do that?
I don't know, Carl. I don't know the first thing about the development business. I really think Mr. Thompson might find me in over my head.
No, not the development business. School, Dupree.
I'm going to need you to fill in for me at Molly's school.
No. Not this time.
What?
No, I'm talking to Lance Armstrong. He's trying to break away from the pack.
I got him.
Will you quit dicking around with your little huffy bike and listen to me?
Career Day is written on the blackboard in Molly's classroom beside Carl Peterson, lead designer. The kids are working while Molly waits. She checks her watch, then glances out of a window to see Dupree cycling by. She goes to meet him.
Hey, Molly.
Dupree, what are you doing?
Carl asked me to fill in. I guess there was some sort of work conflict.
Conflict? What kind of conflict?
I don't know. I don't ask questions. I just ride to where I'm needed. But don't worry. Sort of a good public speaker.
Oh, no, it's a career day presentation, Dupree. You don't even have a job.
I understand that, but here's what I'd love you to do. Please get Mandy here. I want her to see this. I think this will win her back. Now, where are these little rugrats?
Dupree bursts in.
Hey, how are you? First of all, thank you for giving me the opportunity to come talk to you on Career Day. Now, I am not Mr. Carl Peterson, and I don't have a career per se. I guess you could say my career is living and loving, and I do that to the utmost.
Molly steps into the classroom. Dupree looks up.
Is she coming?
Molly gestures to him.
Keep going. Okay. I see all you fresh-faced kidlets sitting there in your neat little rows. And you're all just pods. Pods, waiting for your instructions. Now, some of you are going to get zapped right away and be 15-year-old prodigies. Little midget Olympic gymnasts with their pictures on cereal boxes. Some of you will go on to college and you'll find your rhythm there. And then go chase down the titans of industry.
or maybe straighten out our problems at the UN. But some of you, and this is the group that no one ever comes into Career Day and addresses, and it's criminal. Some of you are just gonna float along, eating spicy foods, humming black people's music into your 30s, well into your 30s, languishing. This group of pods is gonna do a lot of languishing. And you're gonna take some heat for it. Sadly, you will. Europe's a little easier. They seem to understand a little better. So South America. I went to Argentina one time and everyone just seemed to be sitting around. It was beautiful. But that's okay. You stay loose, stay liquid, laugh a lot, but be ready. That's what Dupree's doing with his life's little pod, staying nimble until I get the call from the mothership. My raison d'etat. Then I fight. Then you'll see Dupree coming in here throwing 7 different kinds of smoke.
Dupree does some karate kicks. The kids sit up and giggle. Molly smiles. Dupree suddenly looks very serious. The kids look puzzled and frown.
That's fine. The pods that were supposed to hear this did. It'll kick in when it needs to. I'm done here.
He walks up to Molly by the door.
I told you. Now, do you think it went over their head?
No, it was really good.
Oh, they got it. They got it. No, where's Mandy? I'm only going to do this one more time, but we got to get her here.
Dupree, Mandy has... She had a book that was... lost.
She frowns and looks at Dupree. He closes his eyes and leans against the wall.
I'm sorry, Dupree.
Dupree slaps the wall, then walks out. Molly runs after him.
Dupree, wait. Dupree, there's something you need to know about Mandy. Well, it turns out she's a total slut and is sleeping with half the male faculty.
No.
I'm sorry.
My Mandy?
Yeah. Sorry, Dupree. I would have never set you up with her if I would have known. Ever.
Okay, kids, back inside. Let's go.
Ever.
Dupree stares ahead at a nerdy, bespectacled male teacher herding kids into class, then turns to Molly inquiringly. Her response indicates yes.
What, that guy?
He turns to see an athletic African-American games teacher who grins at him. Dupree's eyes widen, and he looks at Molly, who nods. Dupree grimaces and leans over a railing. When he looks up, he sees an overweight, balding, middle-aged janitor pushing a cart. Dupree eyes Molly.
Afraid so.
He's not even on the faculty! There really aren't any more Audrey Hepburns out there, are there? Oh, what a sucker.
He walks away miserably with his bicycle.
Talk to Sam about the zoning issues?
Yeah, and to be honest with you, sir, they're still in flux.
Carl, I'm going to the bank in days, all right? I cannot have things in flux.
I realize that, sir. I'll get on it right away.
Oh, sit down, please. Please just sit down.
He sits down by Carl's desk.
You know, there's something you said to me a few days ago that I just cannot get out of my mind. Something about you and Molly having children.
Oh, right. Yeah, no, that was hypothetical. That's not something that we're talking about doing anytime soon.
You know what I did, Carl, when I started dating again?
No idea.
I got a vasectomy.
A vasectomy?
Yeah.
Okay, that's a little extreme, don't you think?
Not really. It's a mild outpatient procedure. A little local anesthesia, snip, snip, snip a bag of frozen peas for a night, voila. I mean, that was it. And it's...
He takes out a leaflet entitled, Vasectomy and You.
100% effective.
Yeah, and 100% permanent.
Carl, read the literature. It is reversible. 70% of the time. All right, so you get your shit together, all right? I want it back on my desk, the zoning stuff, by 3 o'clock today, all right? Thank you, Carl.
Carl walks down a corridor, reading the leaflet. Dupree's watching Audrey Hepburn in Roman Holiday.
All right.
Fine, how are you?
Oh, fine. Hey, you know, you were great back there.
You weren't so bad yourself.
Gregory Peck leans towards Hepburn and kisses her. Dupree lowers his gaze sadly. When he lifts his head, he looks a bit tearful. Molly arrives home, sets her bag down, and perches on a coffee table beside Dupree's beanbag.
Guess we better get Irving's car. Get out of here.
So you really were serious about Audrey Hepburn, huh?
She had it all. Style, grace, ethereal beauty. Just like I thought Mandy did.
I don't know. I have a hard time imagining Audrey Hepburn getting buttered up to Funky Cole Medina.
Really? Mm. I don't.
The mouth of truth. Legend is that if you're given to lying, put your hand in there, it'll be bitten off.
I'm still trying to understand why Carl didn't show up today. Let's see you do it. I know he's under a lot of pressure right now, but lately he seems like a different person.
No, he's working really hard. He gets like that sometimes.
Maybe if he opened up a little bit more.
Sure. Yeah. Look, Carl's never going to be mistaken for the great communicator. I mean, just mention the word feelings or emotion and watch his eyes glaze over, but I don't know. He just puts up a wall.
Well, how do you get past it?
I think you just fight through it. Patience. That's what I did. I ask a lot of questions. I let him know that I care. And I just pray he drops his guard, because when he does, it's so worth it.
Peck pretends that his hand's been bitten off.
That gets me every time, and I know it's coming.
He munches on popcorn as he watches the film. Later that evening, Molly leans on the kitchen island, watching Carl rinse a glass in the sink.
So, Dupree did a good job? You mentioned the mothership?
Actually, in a weird way, he was really inspiring. I didn't know he was so sensitive. Did you know he writes poetry?
Poetry?
Yeah.
And what a homo.
Wow. That is really mature, Carl.
Honey, I'm sorry I didn't make it today.
What is going on with you lately?
Oh, nothing. I'm fine.
You are clearly not fine, Carl. So why don't you meet me halfway here, please?
All right, you want to know what's going on? I'll tell you what's going on. I think your father hates me.
What? Carl. Carl, my father does not hate you. He gives you this big promotion, which you said was a dream come true. Why would he do that? Because he hates you?
Well, that's exactly what I'm beginning to think. The same reason he's been systematically trying to emasculate me and sterilize me.
Slow down, because now you're not making any sense.
I'm not making any sense? Well, here's something that should make perfect sense to you. Now, everybody knows that your father, when he likes somebody, he invites him out on a little fishing trip. In fact, I've never been invited fishing. Not once.
You hate fishing.
He doesn't know that. I'm telling you, Molly, he hates me.
Look, Carl, I know how my father gets sometimes. I do. He pushes people when he wants results, and it's frustrating. I know. But he doesn't hate you. And I know you want to do a great job on this project, but it's taking over your life. And we're supposed to be having fun.
Carl hangs his head.
Why don't you come home at a decent hour tomorrow night? Dupree wants to cook for us. We'll sit down, we'll have dinner, relax, talk about things other than work. And everything will be okay.
Yeah.
You'll see.
Fine.
They lean towards one another across the kitchen island and kiss tenderly. Molly kisses his forehead. Dupree's lying on his bed in the spare room, reading a copy of Mensa Bulletin. Carl steps in.
Busy?
No. Just catching up on some back issues. What's going on?
I wanted to ask you something.
Yeah?
Would you be offended if Thompson asked you to get a vasectomy?
What? Why would he want me to get a vasectomy, Carl? I barely know the man.
Wait a minute. Wait, Dupree.
Yes, I'd be offended.
No, not you. That's not what I mean. Just what do you think of vasectomies?
Cutting off my manhood? I think it's barbaric. No one's getting near that part of my body. No one, Carl. Unless, of course, it's a woman. And then she better not have a scalpel.
Of course.
Why would he want me to get a vasectomy?
He doesn't want you to get a vasectomy. It's a hypothetical question.
Okay.
Just forget I asked.
Don't joke with me like that,
man. Come back to you, Reed.
Dupree, in his best man's shirt, is slicing through a garlic bulb with a razor blade in the kitchen. Molly's stirring a saucepan.
Ooh, watch that heat. Slow stirring, Molly. How my game hen's doing?
Get started on the sound. Put some walnuts in. I'll take care of this.
Okay, how'd you learn all this?
Well, most of it I picked up in a 6-week series, Treasures of Tuscany. The garlic technique, however, I got from watching Goodfellas. I actually make an incredible risotto, but I want to keep it low carb tonight for Carl. Poor guys, kind of let the wheels come off a little bit. Okay, 20 minutes till the big guy gets here. Focus, we got to come together now. Merlot, I want you to get it out, get it breathing. We're going to use the 2005 Napa wine glasses Aunt Kathy gave us.
How'd you know Aunt Kathy gave us those wine glasses?
Later.
Please stop making excuses for him. No, you are. And you have to stop doing that now because your buddy is wrong, okay? If he didn't want to write them, he should have just told me.
They sit at a beautiful, formally set dining table.
And big surprise, he's leaving it. Look, you know, forget him. You made this beautiful meal.
Thank you.
We're going to sit here and we're going to enjoy it. We're going to drink. And we're going to eat. And we're going to drink some more.
Well, that's frustrating for me, too, because I know we would have loved this meal.
He picks up a game hen with a fork. Carl arrives home with flowers and hurries onto the veranda. He pauses to peer in the window at Dupree and Molly, who've now finished dinner and are sitting close together.
Yeah. Oh, well, can you do it?
No.
A grim Carl steps in and approaches them.
Hey, guys.
Dupree sighs and sets his glass down.
There's a plate for you in the oven.
Oh. Okay, look, I'm sorry I'm a little late. I got hung up at work. Would it have killed you to make a phone call?
No, Randolph, wait.
I'm sorry, Molly, but damn it, Carl, you really press my button sometimes.
He storms out.
Is he kidding?
Well, no, now you upset Randolph.
She stands up and walks away.
Randolph, you gotta be kidding me. I know a Randy Dupree. I do not
Did it ever occur to you that maybe he prefers to be called
No,
Randolph?
Molly, it never occurred to me. You know, the guy writes some bullshit poetry and suddenly he's got a brand new name.
That's funny. Turns out that's not the only thing he writes. Apparently, he is a whiz at thank you notes.
Carl steps out of the ensuite. Molly nods.
He told you about that.
It just kind of slipped out.
Oh, I bet it just kind of slipped out. Guy stabs his best friend in the back. He's getting drunk with his wife.
What can I say, Carl? I'm kind of fun to get drunk with. Maybe you should try it sometime because I'm here.
Molly, I'd be delighted to try it sometime. But unlike your friend Dupree, I've got a job. And what was with the groomsman shirt? That was a one-time deal, Molly.
He's trying to look nice for you. And why are you coming down on Dupree? He's the one who went through all this effort to cook low carb for you. You didn't even bother
to show
up.
What the hell's that mean?
No, he's on the whole health kick with the bicycling and Lance Armstrong. So he's just trying to help you out.
Oh, he's trying to help me out? That's a laugh, Molly. I'm the one who put a goddamn roof over his head!
No. We put the roof over his head. And A, I mean, you haven't really been taking care of yourself. I can't remember the last time you exercised. And how many Twinkies have you had today?
What are you talking about?
Oh, Carl, please. There's like a million Twinkie wrappers on the floor of your car. I'm not fooling anybody.
All right. So I admit it, I enjoy one occasionally. Is there something so wrong with that? And Molly, look, I am under a great deal of stress. What do you want from me?
She's in bed. He spots a magazine with Nick Lachey on the cover.
Oh, wait. Is this the kind of thing that turns you on?
Oh, Carl!
Is this what turns you on? Come on,
Molly. I was reading an article on Oprah.
Yeah, well, I'm sorry I can't be one of your boy band flavor of the weeks. With their enhanced frosted tips and their washboard bellies and their hairless backs.
He tosses the magazine away.
What's happening to us, Carl?
I don't know what's happening to you, Molly. But apparently I'm getting fat!
Carl's worked up a sweat as he jogs along the pavement. Dupree cycles up behind him.
Nice! Looks like somebody's tired of getting sand kicked in their face. Good job. Good to see you living strong, buddy.
Please, if you listen to yourself, you get your first 10-speed bike, and suddenly you're Lance Armstrong.
Let's leave Lance out of this. Guy's done more with one testicle than you and I could do with three. Now listen, I know you're under a lot of pressure at work, and you and Molly are having some trouble.
Trouble? No, I wasn't having any trouble until you arrived, Randolph.
What's that supposed to mean?
You know what it means.
No, I don't.
You sold me out with those thank you notes. And what's with this Roman holiday obsession? I know you, Dupree. Your favorite movie's Fletch.
No, sir. No, it's not. Fletch is in my top five. It's not my favorite.
What's with the poetry? I think you're trying to show me up.
Maybe I like poetry. Did that ever occur to you? Listen, if I gotta be the lovable fuck-up all my life to win your best friend prize, maybe you should keep your award.
I got news for you, Dupree. You're not that lovable.
Hurt, Dupree looks at him, then hangs his head.
I wouldn't pretend you didn't say that. Goodbye, Mr. Grumpy.
A cozy Dupree and Molly sit side by side reading newspapers and having breakfast together. Plates of pancakes sit in front of them. Carl, who's wearing a suit, leans against the sink eating cereal and glowers as he watches Dupree refill Molly's coffee mug, then swap newspapers with her. Molly checks the sugar bowl.
Sugar.
Top shelf behind the honey.
She turns around.
Where?
The top shelf behind the honey.
Oh, yeah.
You gotta reach for it.
Okay.
Yeah, right there.
Oh, God.
You gotta reach.
I'm reaching.
Right there.
Oh, goodness.
From Carl's perspective, it looks like Dupree's eyeing up her bottom.
There's the sugar. Right behind the honey.
Carl's appalled, but Dupree's innocent.
You got it?
Why do you do this to me? Oh, got it.
Carl watches Dupree turn back round to the kitchen island and carry on eating his cooked breakfast.
Oh, good.
Carl stares suspiciously at his friend and wife, then goes.
Mary.
Night. Dupree's creeping through the living room with the telephone.
Hello, yes. Is Mandy there, please? Yes, it's Dupree again. Okay, yeah, just tell her that I called. Thank you.
He hangs up and slides to the floor where he sits despondently next to his moose head.
Looks like we're going camping again, Murphy.
Carl's curled up asleep in bed beside Molly. She lies on her back, awake. Dupree's on the beanbag masturbating to a porn video as Molly steps down the staircase, sees him, and drops at last.
I'm sorry. I didn't know you were down here. I'm so sorry.
No, it's my fault.
What the hell is
going
on?
Nothing, honey.
Nothing.
Are you naked again?
No, it's fine.
We talked about this.
I know we did, yes. Everyone's asleep, and here's lonely old Dupree just wailing away on himself.
You weren't wailing away on yourself.
God, an animal wouldn't debase himself thus. What is happening to me?
Is this one of my tube socks?
Carl, please.
Answer the question.
Oh, my God.
Mine were dirty.
Carl, stop it. Relax.
Carl looks at them both.
Wait a minute. What are you even doing down here, Molly?
She stares at him.
Are you serious?
It's a simple question.
I couldn't sleep. Getting a broom.
She goes to the kitchen.
This is rock bottom. I was doing so good. Wasn't I doing good, Carl? Huh, buddy?
But Dupree, where did you find this?
The porn video.
I got it from that box marked Carl's camping equipment in the garage.
You put the box away,
yes,
didn't you?
Yes, yes. I'm 99% sure I put it away.
They both spot Molly looking a large cardboard box on the kitchen island and drop her broom.
I didn't realize you were such an outdoorsman, Carl. Asian assault?
Molly, let me explain. That one was in the wrong section of the video store.
Oh, you're gonna
lie
to my
face? I thought
it was
a kung fu movie with Bruce Lee.
Okay, Pacific Rim job.
All right, well, that one I kind of know about.
Oh, Beijing Bang Bang? Carl, is this what our marriage has come to? Lies and all these Chinese fetish videos? I'm just curious.
I admit, Molly, that I was into Asian porn for a little while. But it was just a phase. Anyway, why am I the one who's on trial here?
What?
He's in there starching my sock and you don't even bat an eyelash.
Because I'm not married to him. I am married to you.
She shakes the box.
Do something with that.
Carl's round the back of the house, brooding over each of his porn videos before he reluctantly drops them in a bin. Dupree strolls up in his pajamas.
Is there anything worse than having to throw away your porn collection?
What's going on with you and Molly?
What?
You heard me. Are you in love with my wife?
Have you lost your mind? What are you talking about?
Dupree, just answer the question.
Whoa, hold on, Jake LaMotta. I'm not going to answer. That's a sick question.
How come you can't answer it?
I'm not going to answer because it doesn't deserve an answer. How could you ask me something like that?
You're very clever, Dupree. You're living in my house, going to town on yourself in my living room. And now, you're moving in on my wife.
What?
You think you got it all figured out, but I'm on to you and you're out of here.
Oh, no. Hold on. You're not throwing me out of here. I'll leave.
Good. And while you're at it, leave the flask and the groomsman's outfit.
But you gave those to me. Those were gifts.
All right, those were gifts. Keep those, but leave the insignia, because that was for my best man.
He turns his back on Dupree and returns to the bins. Hurt, Dupree stares at the ground and shakes his head, then starts to slowly make his way back inside. He looks round as though to say something, then changes his mind and walks on. Carl chucks his box of porn and kicks the bin. The two friends walk off in opposite directions. Next morning, Carl and Molly sit apart at the kitchen island. Carl nurses a mug of coffee and stares moodily ahead. A downcast Molly eats a grapefruit. There's no sign of Dupree. Carl sighs.
Hey, it's for the best. Guy would have been living off us forever.
Molly rolls her eyes, picks up her dishes, and stands up.
Dinner's at 7:30, and my father will be here at 7, so...
Molly, with all things considered, do you think that maybe tonight isn't the best night to have your father over
for
dinner?
Carl, please don't be late. Please.
She leans against the kitchen sink and gazes out through a window, then steps into the living room. That evening, Carl and Mr. Thompson sit side by side on the sofa, both staring ahead.
So I hear the albacore are really biting this time of year.
It's not albacore season, Carl.
Oh. Really?
Molly watches them from the kitchen as she prepares food. Outside, Dupree creeps towards the house. Carl leans across Mr. Thompson to retrieve his phone.
Hello?
Shh, hold on. Hey, Carl, it's Neil. Did you actually throw away your porn collection?
Look, Neil, I'm having a dinner party.
I'm coming to get it. Go to Starbucks, be back!
Neil bolts from his own home. Carl sits back down on the sofa beside Mr. Thompson, who's eyeing him distrustfully. Outside, Dupree begins climbing up a drainpipe.
Carl, I read your new presentation. And how would you feel about Tony taking it from here?
What?
I hope you guys aren't talking
Let's
business.
Let's keep it at the office. No, not at all. No, we were... Oh, my God. Is that Mom's crab cakes?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Rabbit gummy is just...
Carl escapes to the kitchen.
Oh, they look exactly like Mom's.
Carl slams the door and paces round the island.
Oh, yeah, go ahead. Give it to Tony. Yeah. Want to give it to Tony? Yeah, I have a pretty goddamn problem with that. Is that what you're saying? Be the moody. Tony deserves it. Give it to Tony. You think I care? Go ahead.
What are you doing?
Dupree drops his duffel bag to the ground.
Huh?
Your father's got it out for me.
Oh, Carl!
No,
Carl!
You know he asked me to get a vasectomy?
What?
He's crazy!
Carl! First of all, this is my father you're talking about.
Dupree slipping from the roof.
Oh,
Carl and Molly listen. They rush outside to find Dupree lying under a drainpipe.
You.
Oh, the hell? Dupree!
What did I tell you? Molly, don't.
Oh,
okay.
Oh,
just slipped on the drainpipe.
Come on, let's get
I didn't want to bother you guys.
Put him out by the curb.
Carl.
Why am I getting blamed for everything?
What's going on here, Carl?
Daddy, will you please grab Dupree's things?
I was just trying to get my stuff.
Dupree's sitting at the dining table across from Carl, who fumes. Mr. Thompson watches them.
You know, Molly, I don't know that I really have time for dinner. I might just...
Molly brings him a plate.
No, I really don't want to impose. Maybe
no.
I know, but I don't...
You're staying. You're going to eat something. It's fine. You're eating here. Have some salad. It's good. I put a little extra balsamic. You like it?
Thanks.
He smiles up at her.
Eat something.
Well, it does look tasty. Thank you.
He holds out a dish to Mr. Thompson.
Sir?
Mr. Thompson pours him wine.
It's a beautiful Schwinn bike you got out there, Dupree.
Thank you. Although it's not exactly state of the art. It's about 25 years old, so sometimes I feel like it's tough to keep up with the other riders on the road.
No, I don't buy that. Did you read Lance Armstrong's book? It's not about the bike.
Mike, touche. And it's true. It isn't about the bike. It's about here. It's about your heart. And that's the truth. And I've said it to Carl, if you...
Carl glares.
Did you see his seventh win? The final one?
The last one?
Yes.
I watched every stage.
Oh, yeah. Me too. I've watched every single one of those races.
Did you ever cry? I defy you to watch that and not cry.
Daddy, excuse me. Can you pass the wine, please?
What color is your bike?
Hello.
Hey, Carl. Hey, it's Neil.
Okay, so is it in, like, the garbage, or did you recycle it?
Listen, you sleazebag. Get off my property. I'm tired of this crap. Get the hell out of here. Go home.
Jackpot.
Neil clocks the contents of the wheelie bin, then picks the bin up. Inside, Carl ditches the phone and returns sullenly to the table. Neil scoots past a window.
Wrong number.
Dupree looks at him curiously, then shrugs. Mr. Thompson sips his wine.
You like to fish, Dupree?
I'm not the world's greatest fisherman, although I did have one pretty great adventure. True story. Off the coast of Baja during spring break, I spent 4 days reeling in this marlin. Great big old shit kicker, and I finally landed him.
4 days?
Yeah.
I hope you mounted that son of a bitch.
No, I didn't. Catch and release, Bob. Honor the fish.
Carl looks dejected.
That's really noble. Dupree, how'd you like to go fishing with me in my boat?
Really?
Yeah, just the two of us.
Carl seethes and daydreams.
Why not?
Hey, Bob, is it just me or the albacore really jumping?
On the boat.
Funny!
What type of fool thinks it's albacore season?
Dupree, from now on, you call me Dad.
Yeah, go out there, maybe bring Molly along.
Carl imagines Molly in high heels and a black bikini effect swimsuit on board her father's yacht. She sashays sexily towards Dupree. He's wearing a loud shirt unbuttoned over his chest and white jeans. He's lounging on a raised, cushioned platform like some sort of sex god. Carl squeezes his eyes shut as Mr. Thompson grooves in the background while Molly licks Dupree's mouth. Dupree kisses her hungrily. Lance Armstrong stands nearby.
Nice, Dupree. Need some of this?
He holds out a dish of butter. Dupree gives a thumbs up.
You sure you're okay with this, Bob?
As long as it's not Carl, you can do anything you want with it.
Back in reality, Carl boils with resentment as he stares across the table at a bewildered Dupree. Carl imagines Dupree wearing the BM insignia on a chunky chain around his neck. Carl lunges and begins to throttle him.
Poetry and Kathy, librarian banging, backstabbing, bike riding, couch burning, masturbating! You ruined my life!
Get a hold of yourself!
Mr. Thompson falls back.
Oh, I will not get a hold of myself! This is my house!
Are you kidding me?
What are you gonna do? Hit me with that thing? You gonna hit me with that thing?
Carl, stop it!
Come on, I dare you!
He's hit.
You dared me.
Neil opens his front door to Carl, who's holding a bag of frozen peas to his head.
Don't tell me you want the poor back because you can't have it. Why is it all Asian?
Whoa, what's with the bag of frozen peas, man?
There's a little bit of a blowout at the house. My wallet's still there, and my car's boxed in. It's not a big deal. I need a place to stay. I've got nowhere to go.
You want to stay here?
Yeah,
that'll be fun. That'll be really cool. Let me ask Eddie.
I said fine!
Look, I don't know what you did, but she just talked to Molly. She's freaked out of you right now, man.
Neil, what are you saying? I can't come into your house right now.
You cannot come in here. She said so, man. She makes the rules.
You know what? I don't need this, Neil.
I don't need this!
The frozen peas.
I'm sorry!
Neil, get back in here!
She controls what I do! Guys' night, Thursday. I'll see you there.
Molly sits in the waiting area of a hospital, rubbing her forehead. Her father sits beside her.
Frankly, Molly, I'm worried about your safety. Maybe I should have Paco come stay at the house.
Please, I don't need this right
Molly,
now.
Molly, I love you more than anything, but you're an idealist. You don't see the world the way it is.
Dupree shuffles slowly towards them, wearing a neck brace. He sits down on the sofa beside Mr. Thompson.
doc says most of my injuries are emotional.
I want to ask you something, and remember, you've never lied to me before.
She's looking into her father's eyes.
Do you ever really want my marriage to work?
Dupree cocks his head to listen. Mr. Thompson shakes his head.
That's a really complicated question, Molly.
No. Actually, it's not. Dupree.
Molly.
Molly leaves the hospital. Dupree goes to follow her, then turns round.
Bob, before I go, I have my own question for you. Now remember, you've never lied to me either, as far as I know.
Mr. Thompson meets his gaze.
Who did you really want to get a vasectomy? Me? Or was it, in fact, Carl?
Take care of your neck, Dupree.
He nods.
Okay, Bob.
Dupree turns and walks slowly towards the door. Mr. Thompson watches him, then hangs his head. Door and steps in. The dining area is still in disarray, with broken crockery on the floor and an upturned chair. She drops her keys, pulls her cardigan more tightly round herself, and makes her way upstairs. Dupree walks slowly and stiffly in behind her. He pauses and glances around. Dupree turns an armchair around so that it faces the front door. He sits in it and waits. Early morning light streams in through the windows on Dupree's sleeping form in the armchair. Dupree shifts and wakes up. Dupree starts and turns round. He gets up and walks towards the kitchen.
Carl?
He sees a hand reach out and pick up a dustpan from the kitchen island. It's Molly. She's cleaning up after the night before. She carries on as Dupree steps in.
You didn't come home last night.
Dupree closes his eyes and bows his head as Molly steps up to the kitchen sink with the remains of a bowl of salad, which she chucks into the waste disposal.
He loves you, Molly.
Molly nods and turns to him.
I know.
She looks away, then turns back to him.
Maybe it's just not enough.
She leans against the sink thoughtfully. Dupree turns away in despair and slowly leaves the kitchen. Molly sets the salad bowl down, leans over the island, and rests her face in her hands. Dupree glances back at her from the living room as he steps towards his duffel bag resting on the coffee table. He pauses to glance back again, then shakes his head and muses.
It has to be enough. It is enough. Dupree, you gotta piece this beautiful thing back together again.
My God, it took 36 years, 9 months, and 23 days for the mothership to speak. Well, guess what?
He removes his neck brace.
Hey, gather around! Come on! Everybody gather around! Over here!
What's going on, Dupree?
I'm gonna tell you what's going on. We got an emergency. That's why I gave you permission to miss school. Now listen, Carl's missing. He ran away from home last night. It's up to us to find him. And here's the deal. I don't know what he's capable of. If he attacks you, go limp. Play dead. That's what I did, and I think it saved my life. Toshi, pass out these flyers. Give them to everybody. Okay, Nancy, go to Neil's house. Go. Caesar, get up here. I want you to hit the grocery store. Thompson Land Development. Danger. Be careful here. Go. Fall out. And if you see him, call someone. Do the buddy system. Run!
Dupree hands out posters.
I'm just looking for this guy, Carl Peterson, if you see him right here. I just lost my friend, Carl Peterson.
Here you go. Just stand there. Put your head through this.
Dupree fits a sandwich board over Toshi.
Carl!
Now Dupree wears a sandwich board as he hands out posters.
There you go. Looking for a friend, that's all.
Dupree holds a megaphone. Later he sits on the pavement, then wheels his bicycle away.
And he took his hat. That was real. His American Legion hat, the colonel.
Give us a break.
Dupree walks into the darkroom bar and up to the counter.
Back again, huh?
Just came in to make a pit stop.
Well, that's good, because your cot's been taken.
To the barman.
What's he talking about?
The barman, Dave, gestures to a booth where Carl sits alone, downing a short. Dupree's eyes widen. He looks back at Dave, then determinedly grabs a handful of papers out of a satchel and marches up to Carl, who's refilling his glass.
In case you think I'm still in love with Molly, maybe you should take a look at these. They're all about Mandy.
He turns away.
Love poems. Sonnets. Little ditties, haikus. I loved her.
How come you never told me you wrote poems?
I don't know. I guess I feared you'd call me a homo.
Carl frowns.
No.
Dupree sits down.
If there's one thing I know about, it's loving and losing. But you can't lose unless you stop
waiting. Look, Dupree, listen, I'm really not in the mood for one of your soliloquies. My life's in the shitter right now.
Yes, it is. But what are you gonna do? Quit? So what if you made some mistakes? Everybody does. So what if her dad hates you? You think you're the first guy to be hated by his father-in-law? So what if he beat your ass with a candlestick? That's probably happened before. The point is somewhere along the road, you lost your magic. They knocked you off your game. Your Carlness went right out the window.
What's with this Carlness? It's not even a real word.
Yes, it is.
What is?
It's a verb. It's a conjunction, a preposition. It's a philosophy, a way of life. It's your name with ness attached to it.
Bullshit. There's never been any Carlness. There's just Carl.
He raises a glass and downs another short.
Well, I'm glad we got that straightened out. My mistake.
He stands up and makes to go, then steps back to Carl. His t-shirt reads, "Say hello to my little friend," beside an image of a gnome.
You know, the truth is, I never really thought you and Molly were right for each other. There was something about her I never bought right from Jump Street, that whole, "Hey, look at me, I'm a great person, I'm always smiling, I'm pretty, I'm smart. I work with inner city kids." Get the hell out of there. I saw through that sham, and you did too. And if you want to know the truth, frankly, I blame her.
Wait a minute.
No, I won't.
Hold on a second.
Your life
is
going to hell in a handbasket.
Molly's the best damn thing that ever happened to me. Leave her out of this.
Sure she is. Did you see what just happened when I tricked you? All of a sudden, you had that instinct to fight, that Carlness. That's what this situation needs. It's crying out for it. You're trying to get it back, that fight, the will to fight.
He gestures, wheels in motion.
Come on, what do you got?
Dupree, get your helmet.
Carl and Dupree hide outside the Thompson Land Development building.
Shit. Paco's on duty. Hey, can you get me 10 minutes in there?
Get you 15.
Hold on a second.
He's a lot faster than he looks.
Dupree cycles over the marble floor of the foyer to the security desk.
There. A message I need to deliver.
You have identification?
No. You kidding me? Just got the old bike here. Pretty obvious I'm a bike messenger.
Paco stands up. He's big.
What are you, Samoan?
What do you think?
Could be Greek. Could be Italian. Either way, you're a big man. It's okay. I specialize in big men.
Where's your message?
I keep them up here. Saves on the paperwork. All right, have a good day. Maybe I'll see you around.
Dupree turns a corner, walking further into the building.
Come on.
Hold it.
Dupree freezes, then slowly turns round. Paco's reappeared around another corner.
They said you were quick.
Paco strides forward.
Easy now, Biggin. I gotta tell you, you're catching me on a day where I'm throwing 7 different kinds of smoke.
Yeah? Let's see them.
Dupree stares at Paco's thin police baton, then shrugs and makes to leave.
That's what I thought.
The bike hits him.
That's number one!
Dupree bolts.
Everyone, the police! Chief! Okay, here we go! Here we go!
While Paco chases after Dupree, Carl steps quickly through the foyer.
Up or down? Up or down?
Down!
Dupree races up a staircase as Paco thunders after him. Paco sprays mace.
Gotcha! Miss number 2!
Carl opens double doors to Mr. Thompson's office to find a secretary.
Mr. Peterson Thompson.
Where is he?
Paco chases Dupree along a corridor over the foyer.
Yes, sir!
Carl Carl races down a corridor. Paco follows Dupree into an open plan office. Dupree grabs a bunch of floppy disks from the desk and hurls them at Paco. He then pushes a guy in a computer chair towards him.
Guy in chair, number three!
Dupree tips a stationary cart over.
You see that? I got a...
He pauses to stare at the attractive office worker he's addressing, then kisses her.
Dispatch, lock down the building.
To the woman.
That was my number four.
It's number five.
I can't tell you, I don't know myself.
He releases her as Paco gets to his feet.
Nice job, Weasel.
Now it's on!
Paco hurls things at Dupree, who heads them away with his bicycle helmet. Dupree tosses office supplies back at him, then ducks down onto his hands and knees and creeps between the partitions.
Number five. Invisible.
Mr. Thompson is showing the Mesa Vista model to a group of businessmen.
You can manufacture these for $90 a square foot. You sell them at $400 a square foot. You got 25 in this whole arena right here. I don't even think you can do the advertising. 50 million.
Carl waves through a glass door.
Square feet.
Paco.
Come here, Weasel!
Dupree dashes into a broom cupboard.
Number six!
He locks the door.
Open the door, the broom.
Number seven.
Paco shoulders the door. Dupree slots a broom handle across the closed door while in the corridor, Paco throws his huge body against it.
I need a number seven!
Paco takes out a baton.
You want some more?
I'll give you some more!
He charges at the door with his huge baton and bursts through it. Enraged, he thrashes out at everything in sight, then pauses and looks about. Dupree's not there. Paco flicks his torch on and points it towards an open trapdoor above him. Dupree's crawling along the air vent.
Oh, excuse me. Pardon me. You know, for the last 14 hours, all I've thought about is kicking your ass.
Don't make me look for another candlestick, Carl. But I'm taking you down once. I can do it again.
Not today, Bob. Not today.
I'll go get Paco.
Yeah. You go get Paco. You've done everything you can to undermine me. You've tried to intimidate me. You've tried to humiliate me. You bastardized my project to the point where it's unrecognizable. And here's the thing, Bob. I don't care. I don't care about this job, and I don't care about you. I care about Molly. She means everything in the world to me. And if you're gonna stand in the way of me trying to win her back, you better bring a pretty big candlestick.
He turns and makes his way towards the door. Mr. Thompson looks thoughtful.
Carl?
Carl ignores him.
Hey, Carl!
Carl pauses and turns to him.
You all excuse us.
The group of businessmen murmur amongst themselves.
Can everybody...
He gestures for them to move. The businessmen file out. Mr. Thompson stands by a window, staring out. When they're alone, he turns to Carl.
You know, Carl, I've been thinking, maybe I was a little rough on you.
A little?
But you gotta understand, you know, I love Molly, too, and I've been having a really, really tough time letting go of her.
You asked me to get a vasectomy.
Yeah, that was a little excessive. I apologize.
Carl frowns and nods.
I'm not gonna hyphenate my name, Bob.
I know.
Dupree crashes through the ceiling onto the Mesa Vista model. He lies face down amongst the shattered remains of the model on the board table. He looks up at a grateful Carl, who glances sheepishly at Mr. Thompson. Covered in dust and in pain, Dupree reaches into his trouser pocket and takes out his BM insignia, which he holds up in his outstretched arm. He grits his teeth and thrusts it forward again and again to show Carl. Carl smiles and nods in acknowledgement. Dupree drops his head onto the table. Missing posters of Carl are pinned to a tree in his neighborhood. Carl and Dupree, pushing his bicycle, walk along the middle of the street heading for home. Toshi waves. Other local kids spot them and begin to follow them. Carl looks straight ahead as he strides on with passion. Dupree walks tall behind Carl. The kids tell more kids, who spread the message to others and join the trail. They all walk on down the street until they reach Carl and Molly's suburban, middle-class, blue clapboard house. Carl slows as he casts his eyes over his home, then walks up the garden path towards the front door. Dupree halts on the street and holds up his hand to gesture the kids to wait. They all watch Carl go inside.
He's on his own now.
Molly?
Carl walks across the living room towards the kitchen. He pauses and looks around. Through a window, Molly walks along the veranda holding a box.
Molly!
Molly tips the contents of the box into a wheelie bin, then releases the box. She slaps her hands and brushes them against the back pockets of her jeans, then steps up onto the veranda. She notices Dupree and all the kids standing on the street staring at her. She stops and looks at them. Dupree nods towards the front door. Molly looks up and sees Carl as he steps outside. He stands and gazes longingly at her.
Molly, I'm sorry.
Molly glances away, then bows her head pensively. She steps up to Carl and looks into his eyes.
Don't ever walk out on me again.
She shakes her head.
I know. I lost it. I didn't know what I was doing anymore.
Well, Carl, I don't always know what I'm doing either. But we are in this together when it's good, when it's bad.
Yeah.
I mean, so you launched yourself across our dining room table at your best friend like a crazy person.
Carl nods.
I guess so.
But Carl, I know who you are. And I love who you are. That's why we don't walk out on each other.
Carl gazes tenderly into her eyes.
I love you, Molly. And I promise you, I'm not going anywhere.
Molly blinks tearfully as a little smile creeps across her lips. Carl steps up to her and kisses her softly. Molly wraps her arms around his neck and kisses him. Dupree drops his bicycle.
My work is done here!
Carl and Molly break from their embrace and look at Dupree, who grins at them. The couple smile, then kiss again. Dupree cheers as Carl picks Molly up in his arms, carries her inside, and closes the door. Dupree turns to the kids and high fives. The kids rush off, leaving Dupree alone on the street. Hands on his hips, he paces, then jumps up and punches the air.
Yeah!
And falls heavily onto the street. Dupree's on a stage addressing an audience.
Life may knock you down. Scratch that.
I'm okay.
Life will knock you down, okay? It'll kick you in the gut and knock you to the curb, but you can't let it rob you of your ness. Now what's ness? It's your name plus ness. You, sir, white-haired gentleman, what's your name?
My name's Joe.
No, it's Joe Ness. You follow me? Listen to me. Hang on to that. And as long as you do, you'll always be ready. Because when that moment comes, and trust me, it will come, that's when you start throwing. Seven different...
He punches the air. Behind him, on a vast screen, is his book with a Lance Armstrong-esque cover. Seven Different Kinds of Smoke, Living, Loving, and Finding Your Innerness by Randolph Dupree.
The mothership hears you! Paco!
Hits it!
Paco hits it.
Bust it!
Dupree rocks his head to the music coming from the stereo. Then, wearing a red t-shirt with a lightning bolt emblem on it, like his BM insignia, he leaps from the stage into the auditorium. Paco holds the large booming stereo above his head and follows him. Like an evangelical preacher, Dupree claps the hands of his audience as he moves amongst them. He hugs the grey-haired guy and flirts with a young woman, then moves on. ITFC audio description by Aileen Downey, read by Helen Vasey.
on a mission, and you're wishing someone could cure your lonely condition. Looking for love in all the wrong places. No fine girls, just ugly faces. From frustration, first inclination is to become a monk and leave the situation. But every dark tunnel has a lighter hope, so don't hang yourself with a celibate rope. New movie showing, so you're going. Could care less about the five you're blowing. Theater gets dark just to start the show. Then you spot a fine woman sitting in your row. She's dressed in yellow, she says hello. Come sit next to me, you fine fellow. You run over there without a second to lose. And what comes next? Hey, bust a move.
Lanceness. Lanceness. Lanceness.